Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, as usual, here with Sherry Pang. Sherry, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you, Jason?
Not too bad. Having some issues with my microphone, so hopefully that'll go away. But how was your week?
Busy. A lot of readings, a lot of healings. I was at the Body, Mind, and Spirit Expo this weekend, and yes, I really brought some, hopefully brought some value to other people's lives, whether it's, you know, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and, you know, just overall, just helping them to heal and bringing comfort and bringing some closure. So that's where my week, and how was your weekend?
Well, I threw out my back earlier in the week, and so I missed a couple days at work, but fortunately for me, I had a few days off, so I haven't been to work in a week, but my back's still causing me troubles. It's amazing how much pain can come from the back. I mean, I've broken bones before, but man, it's terrible when you hurt your back. It's like you literally can't get out of bed, or it's terrible.
Oh, wow. Wow. Boy, I've been there myself. That's when you hope you have somebody to help heal you. You know, it's kind of like, it's interesting where you have, you know, I may have a client that they're in pain and I can take care of their pain, but if I'm in pain, forget it. It's like, yeah, it's like having a surgeon trying to operate that on himself. So, yeah, good luck. But I hope you're feeling better, and, you know, back spasms, you know, it happens, and it just takes a while to heal. It really does. So, but I want to bring on our first-time guest. I'm really excited to bring him on for the very first time. It's wonderful to have him. Very well-known in the paranormal field. The guy is just, a lot of people may know his name. He's, you know, he's been around for a long time. He's a Freudian researcher. Also, he has a blog called Phantoms and Monsters. He's been featured quickly at the Coast to Coast AM. He's a regular with George Norrie, Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. And also, he's on History. He's been on History Channel, Ancient Aliens, and Sci-Fi Paranormal Witness, Fact and Fake Paranormal, and Destination of America's Monsters and Mysteries in America. And it goes on and on and on. So I'm going to give him the floor. I want to introduce him. So for the very first time, and we're welcome to have Lon Strickler.
All right. Hey. Welcome.
Hello. Hi. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah,
hi, Lon. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you.
Good. Good. You sound like you're okay. Thank you for staying up and being on Paranormal Horizons. We appreciate you.
Yeah, it's no problem.
So, quickly, just quickly introduce yourself to the public, and we'll just talk about whatever, Chicago sightings, vampires, whatever we're going to go.
Well, my name is Lon Strickler. I've been a Fortean researcher and paranormal investigator for, well, I guess almost 40 years now. I'm also an intuitive since I was younger. It's something I love to do, been doing a long time, and God willing, I'll be able to keep doing it for much longer.
Yay!
Now I'm curious,
Jason, can I ask you, what is a Fortean? For those who do not know what that means, what does a Fortean mean?
That was my
question. Basically, it's a word taken off the well-known investigator and researcher Charles Fort, who was actually one of the earliest paranormal investigators, researchers, wrote several books, and kind of the godfather of paranormal research. And because, you know, many of us kind of were inspired by his works and the things that he wrote about, we have taken the name of Fort, turned it to Fortean, and kind of go from there.
Okay. Good.
So,
Jason, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So we're gonna have to continue. So, what we're gonna talk about tonight? What kind of things in the Chicago sightings we're gonna talk about?
Well, this has been a phenomena that's been going on fairly steady since March of this year. We started receiving reports or seeing reports in mid-April. This phenomena has happened before, but to nothing to this degree. Back in 2011, there were 3 sightings of a flying humanoid type being, 6 to 7 foot tall, a wingspan approximately 10 to 12 feet wide. There was a photograph taken. It's hard to tell what's in the photograph. It's something that's in the air. It's got its wings spread and flying. But that was in 2011. But this year, there have been approximately 57 reported sightings. We have received others that we have discounted, but these are the sightings. But we have been reporting on the sightings that we do believe are genuine, and where the witnesses have been willing to talk to us or seem to be very sincere. So, you know, it's like I said, this phenomenon has been going on fairly steady for the past 6 months. And now we haven't had a sighting for almost 2 weeks now. So because of the weather situation, and it's definitely going to get colder in Chicago, we're kind of wondering if this is going to continue to happen.
So what do you believe these creatures are from? What's your belief in that? Is it something from, are they hybrids? Are they from a different planet? Why are they being seen by certain people? What's your take on this, Lon?
Well, personally, I believe that these are flesh and blood, but they are actually from another reality. In other words, that they are coming through somehow, from another reality, another dimension, or that they have been summoned or actually conjured somehow, manifested. There are several theories out there. We haven't really pinpointed, haven't really focused on one. We are kind of looking into everything. As we talk to witnesses and get more reports and more personal sighting accounts and descriptions, hopefully we can come up with a more defined explanation as to what's going on.
That's interesting. Wow. So is there a certain time of day or evening or weather, or, you know, have these people, are they just like all of a sudden... It's like the Mothman. They come out the bridge. All of a sudden, it's just there. Have you noticed anything, why people are seeing them more often?
Most of the sightings have occurred at night, anywhere from 9 to 11 o'clock p.m. local time. There have been some daytime sightings. Not all the sightings have been in flight. There were a few sightings where the being has been standing or perching somewhere. It kind of runs the gamut as far as locations within or around the city, or the type of witnesses who have been making reports. It's a very unusual type of flap of sightings. Our group of sightings, for the most part, because it's something that has not really ever been known to happen before. This many sightings in one location, and in particular, an urban location.
Wow.
The Point Pleasant sightings were in a basically a rural area, and there were a good number of sightings in and around the Point Pleasant area, but it's much different than these sightings for the fact that those were mostly concentrated around the West Virginia Ordnance Works facility, though there were some sightings across the river in Ohio and into Mason County. But the sightings that have occurred in the Chicagoland area have extended into northern Indiana and western and northwestern suburbs of Chicago.
Wow.
Can you guys hear me now?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
Jason.
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm having issues with my
microphone. You need a new microphone, Jason.
It's not that old. I'm operating on a laptop, and I think next time I have a fancy new desktop system, and I'm going to go with that. But I think my laptop's having issues. But so you've been a researcher for 40 years. That's a long time. That's commendable. Have you had any of these sightings yourselves with any cryptids?
I have had two experiences that I consider to be kind of profound. One was a hairy hominid type creature, or a Bigfoot, back in 1981, and I also had a encounter with a flying humanoid type being back in 1988.
What did the flying humanoid look like? What was the circumstance behind that?
It was very similar to what's been going on in Chicago. That was back in 88 at a place called Camp Conowago, which is in south central Pennsylvania, not far from where I live now. And me and two other gentlemen were investigating reports of screaming and weird sounds being heard at this location. So we went into that location, set up camp, and just to see what would happen. And the second evening we were there, we heard these screaming. It sounded like a child, but it was kind of at a distance, but coming in and out. So after we heard the screams, about an hour later, we decided, and it was about 1 a.m, we decided to take a walk along the trail that is right along the Conowago Creek. And as we started walking away from camp, we all three noticed something that was standing in the middle of the creek. Now, there was a full moon that evening, so there was enough light, enough ambient light, that we could tell that something was standing there. But we all suddenly noticed the two very bright red eyes. This thing was probably about 6 foot high. By the time we got our flashlights on this thing, it suddenly shot up out of the water, straight up into the air without unfurling any wings, and started screeching, and we could hear it going away in the distance. Now, I'm quite sure one of the witnesses and I both noticed some structures on its back. I believe there may have been folded wings behind its back of some type, but it was very dark in color. But the red eyes, we all three definitely saw. So, ever since that sighting, I started. Well, what happened was I really hadn't said a whole lot about it. And when I started doing the blog back in 2005, I later decided I'd post what had happened that night. So when I did make the post back in 2008. I was contacted by a nearby resident at Dick's Dam, who told me that he had been hearing those screams for many, many years, and he never was able to figure out what it was. And not long after that, I got a I got a comment or report from a Boy Scout leader who said that he and his troop about a year earlier had been at Camp Conewago, and that one early evening, his scouts had been out on a hike along the trail, and from what I could tell, it was the same trail we were on. And they said they reported to him that they had seen what they described as a dragon, 6-foot dragon, with feathers. They had no idea what it was. They seemed to be very upset and scared by it. The scout leader told me that he originally thought they were pulling his leg. And, he never really believed what they said they saw until he read what I had posted. So since that time, there have been 4 or 5 other sightings along the creek going downstream for about 8 miles. It's been up and along the creek. And the creek eventually empties into the Susquehanna River. Now, the area where the Conewago and also the Codorus Creek empty into the Susquehanna River, there have been other sightings of winged beings, humanoid beings that, can stand on 2 legs. So there's something definitely going on. And the descriptions that we've been receiving in Chicago are very similar to what had been reported there. Now, those aren't the only sightings that I've had in this area. We had a report just south of my location in a near town, Littlestown, Pennsylvania, where another winged humanoid was sighted crossing a road in front of a family one evening. And there have been other sightings near Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and another in southeastern Pennsylvania. So, this is something that has been going on in this area. And in fact, Pennsylvania in particular has had other winged being sightings, unknown sightings for many years. So, and another interesting aspect to what's been going on in Chicago, we've been receiving sighting reports in Florida and Texas as well, and the descriptions are very similar to what people are saying in Chicago.
Wow.
I always wonder if there's like some sort of like government military connection to some of these things people are saying, like escaped experiments or some sort of psyops or something. Are there military bases around there? Is there any, I don't know. I always think of that when I hear stories about people citing strange things.
There are some facilities that we have looked into in the Chicago area, but nothing to where I can say that any of those are responsible. As far as other places go, I guess it's possible. But, as far as any type of government involvement, we really haven't been able to make a connection there.
What's your theory on this thing? I mean, do you think maybe it could be extraterrestrial or just some sort of undiscovered species kind of thing?
Well, like I said before, there's several theories. It very well could be some type of what people consider an extraterrestrial or non-terrestrial being. I believe it's an extra-dimensional type being that has been somehow summoned to the Chicago area for whatever reason. It's a working theory, but then again, we've got other working theories. It's not like this. There have been some sightings in one particular area known as Little Village. There have been 6 sightings in an 11 block radius. Actually, most of them were encounters because it was very close to the witnesses. But there have been others as well around the city and into northern or northwestern Indiana. So I don't believe it's just one being. I believe there are several of these things. maybe something had been summoned and others got through, or who knows? Maybe there had been some type of manifestation of several beings.
Has it ever been captured, like on video or cell phone or anything? Any images of this thing?
We have one indiscernible photograph that was taken with a cell phone in Melrose Park area of Chicago. But unfortunately, and for various reasons, people have not been able to capture this thing. And a lot of times, you know, when I ask the witnesses why they weren't able to get a photograph, a lot of times it's, I never really thought about it. I was so shocked to see this thing. I never even thought about taking a photograph. And they're very sincere when they tell me that. You know, it's kind of like the phenomena with other cryptids, with Bigfoot and upright canines and such. People have this encounter. But for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's because the being itself is causing some type of interference of some type, extrasensory communication. I don't know what it is, but it does happen in other instances. So this is kind of well known within the cryptid world, the paranormal world. So I don't know. I don't know why we're not getting that. You know, it's something that has kind of been a detriment to us, but maybe one day we will get something. I don't know. But it is. It's an enigma. It's something we just don't really understand, I believe.
Have you had any people, and not to change the subject, but have you, Lon, had anybody talk about the dog man?
Well, we've been, my colleague Butch Witkowski and I have been investigating several upright canine sightings in central Pennsylvania the last 2.5 years. We've had approximately 20 to 21 good sightings, reported sightings that Butch has been following up on. It's not per se what people consider a dog man. The dog man is basically a four-legged being or creature that has similarities to a human, though it's got a lot of times it's seen with a sloping back like that of a hyena, a large head that looks like a wolf, but very rarely it's normally a four-legged being, a quadruped. The upright canine phenomena is much different, that this seems to be a two-legged creature, bipedal, very, very large in size, kind of reminds you of the werewolf or lichen-type beings that you see in TV, and like a lot of the witnesses have described it to look a lot like the Underworld series lichens. With human-like legs. Some have been described as being the hocked legs, but for the most part, some have seen them as with thick, muscular legs, thick, muscular arms, some hair about the body, a large chest, thin torso, and a large wolf-like head. And we've had several people that have actually come across this thing, have actually walked up on it, that have been armed. And for whatever reason, they just refused to take a shot at it. Again, is this something that is being, that they're being manipulated by the being itself? It's hard to tell. But I don't even know if I came across something that size, I don't know if I'd take a shot at it either, to be quite honest with you. Just don't know how it'd react.
Probably not very well. I don't think I'd ever try and shoot something. I mean, I don't doubt that there's, you know, strange things being sighted out there. But when I get on, like, YouTube or or these other sites. I see so much fakery out there, and with every aspect of the paranormal, it's hard to know what to believe. I know that there were people that have these like kites or drones that look like people flying around, and it's just so craziness. People do such a disservice to the paranormal by, you know, using CGI or all these other programs, or, you know, it's kind of ridiculous. It's hard to know what to believe. And I imagine when you're interviewing people that you've probably come into contact or interviewed people that have, you know, made stuff up and stuff like that, I would imagine.
Well, it has happened, but not particularly with what's been going on in Chicago. The one thing that I have found, and other investigators have said the same thing, that I have found to be very interesting about these Chicago sightings is, first of all, when you get the report from the witness, when you do get in contact with them, they do not embellish on what they originally reported. Even when you try to coax them a bit, they right. won't change. That's something that's very unusual with cryptid reports. Even in paranormal or spirit infestation reports, it's there's normally some type of embellishment in a statement. Not that they're trying to lie to you, but they try to, embellish or change to make it sound better. That hasn't happened with these sightings. And you know, the way they make a description of the way the wings move and this thing looking back at them while it's flying and the maneuvers that it makes, it's impossible in my mind that it would be a drone or a large bird of some type. And it's been fairly consistent overall. So whatever this thing is, it's got great maneuverability. It's high speed. It moves about very quickly, and it doesn't stay around long.
This is not like your coyote or anything like that. I was just thinking we have coyotes out here, you know, in Oregon, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, it could be like dog, you know, like a, you know, but not something monstrous and probably growls and just kind of gives you the creeps, right, Lonnie?
Well, there have been some reports where this being has kind of gotten a little bit personal with the witnesses. In other words, it makes itself well known to them.
Really? Okay.
And there have been some instances where it's been very close to the witness, and the witnesses have reacted, you know, to the point where they've actually fallen to their knees or they lose control of themselves and such. And it's a profound experience with these people. When you talk to them, you know that they have seen something. Many times they have no idea what it was they saw, but they know what they saw. You know, they know what it looked like. They don't know what it was, but they know what it looked like. And now we have received a few sketches of it. And quite honestly, there are some differences in the sketches as far as the way the wings are designed. Some of the earlier sightings were very similar to the original Mothman-like being. There have been other insect types, wing structures. Others have described these things as a lalacusa, like a large owl-like being. But for the most part, most of the sightings have been described as a man-bat or bat, large bat-like creature with the wings that resembled either a bat or a gargoyle-like being.
Is it like a Mothman? Is that what you're saying? Is that, or that's entirely something different?
The only thing that, and look, not all of these sightings have had the large red eyes like the Mothman, but some of the sightings have. And for the most part, other than it having a humanoid-like body to it, that's where it kind of ends with the Mothman. I mean, it's most of the wings have been this bat-like structure, gargoyle-like structure. And the Mothman sightings were more of a either a large moth or butterfly type wing, and some were very similar to like birds. So that's where the difference is.
Now it looks like we do have a caller. Do you want to take that? Somebody might have a question for you. Do you mind if we take a caller?
Sure.
All right.
Fine.
Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Who's this?
Hi, this is Luther. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Welcome to Paranormal Horizons, Luther.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, I do have a question, actually. I had a paranormal encounter myself, and I had sex with the alien. Is that gay? I don't know if it was a guy or a girl, but I couldn't tell if it was.
Well, it sounds like you're crank calling us, or are you serious?
Fuck you!
Lovely. All right, let's carry on. Are you there?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, we're,
well, we can't
still
avoid
here.
That.
You
okay.
Get close. Fortunately. Okay, let's continue. So
disregard that. Let's move on. So yeah, the it sounds like people are seeing a lot of strange things out there, and I imagine there's something to it. With, you know, people are seeing something, and it sounds like from what you're saying, people are describing a lot of the same creatures. So when you have multiple people saying that, you know, describing the same thing, then surely there has to be something to it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I didn't believe that people were actually seeing something, I wouldn't have gone as deep into this as I have. And I'm not the only one investigating this. We've got a task force that we put together of investigators in the Chicago area and other people that I have worked with in the past. And this is something that we're taking very seriously. And it's, but at the present time, it's, like I say, it's an enigma. We really don't know what we're dealing with, but because of the type of reports that we have been receiving, people are definitely seeing something. Now, as to what this really is, we can only guess at this point, but I would really like to be able to get an idea, pinpoint what this is. Eventually, I'm working on a book now, and maybe if sightings begin to wane off, we can kind of get a better idea by putting this all together and coming up with a hypothesis of what has been going on. I still believe that this, it's either one or two, it's two things. It's been something that's come through from another reality, or it's some type of conjured being, possibly a thought form or a tulpa, but that would have to be something other than just one being. This would have to be something that's manifested into several beings that have been seen throughout the area. So until we get further evidence, and we have had, you know, we have been going through the neighborhoods and asking people what has been said, what's been seen. It's kind of hard to make a determination with any type of certainty. This may be something we never really be able to solve. I mean, the Mothman sightings, even though it was well documented, there was never really any conclusion as to what they were. And look, the Mothman sightings have continued in and around the Point Pleasant area, but other areas as well. It's a continuing phenomena. And the flying humanoid phenomena is something that has been going on worldwide, quite honest with you. I have had hundreds, if not thousands, of sightings over the years. And but you know, this thing that's going on in Chicago is just, this is just an exceptional group of sightings.
Is there any, like, I was,
what is can you define that?
What's that again?
What is a tulpa? You were mentioning tulpas.
Oh, a tulpa is, well, it actually comes from a Tibetan monk type of manifested being, a mind manifestation thought form. There have been experiments over the years by several groups of either those with the abilities of ESP or clairvoyance, mediumship, that have come together in groups and created thought forms. There have been some manifestations in these experiments where they would hear tapping or other types of noises. But as far as a manifestation of an apparition, that just has not been achieved. Though, it's fairly well agreed upon in the paranormal world that poltergeist activity is most likely a thought form type of being. It's usually some type of mind manifestation of an entity. Though rarely seen as an apparition, the activity itself does tend to be centered around one individual.
I was thinking, as we're talking about these cryptids, has there been any ever connection to any sort of Native American lore? Because sometimes I've heard in the past where, you know, these things have been reputed to be sighted over hundreds of years, and that the Native Americans, it's kind of interwoven with their mythology. Is there any connection to any of these sightings in the Chicago area that might have some sort of Native American link?
We have looked into that. These sightings in particular, we don't really have a connection, though there have been these type of sightings, flying humanoid type beings within the religion lore of many different Native American cultures. I have reported on several of those in the past as well. There have been sightings in areas of the Sioux Nations, Navajo, Apache, and a few other southwestern tribes. You talk about the Thunderbird as being kind of a well-known type of flying being within the Native American culture, indigenous culture. But there also have been other beings associated with these indigenous people as well. But as far as what's going on in Chicago, you know, we've looked into it, and really we haven't come up with a whole lot of evidence, but there's a connection.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that, because it just seems like oftentimes, or occasionally, the things go back years and years and years, back to those ancient cultures. And to me, that adds a lot of validity to the stories, you know, especially when people are having similar sightings that span, you know, hundreds of years. But anything with, like, the description that you're giving, you know, bat-like, and I sure wouldn't want to run into something like that out camping. That would be pretty terrifying.
Yeah, I wouldn't particularly want to either. I mean, the sightings, for the most part, have been fairly benign in the Chicago sightings. You know, the Mothman being in the Point Pleasant late 60s group of sightings, this thing was much more aggressive than what we've seen in Chicago. It would chase cars that would be coming down the road. It would present itself to certain people in a threatening night manner. The sightings in Chicago have not been like that, though. Like I said before, there's been some up and personal type encounters, but nothing to where it has actually made an attack or showed a threat to the witnesses. Or, you know, of course, the witnesses were terrified when they saw it, and there was one instance where the witnesses tried to get away from it, and it flew over them and landed in front of them. That happened one time, and that happened in the little village area of Chicago as well. So, I personally believe that this area of Chicago, little village, may be a genesis of what has been going on. But at this point right now, I really can't say that to be positively what's happening. I mean, you know, it's like I said, it's just part of my theory at this point.
Well, I was, not to change the subject too much, I was curious what your opinion on UFOs and alien abduction is. Is that anything that you've ever encountered and interviewed people that have claimed to be abducted?
I was involved in an abduction case of a family that actually covered about 10 years or more. This family lived outside Pensacola, Florida. The gentleman's name was David Eckhart. It was, I had actually worked with him for about 2 years daily with this investigation. And it was actually presented on the Fact and Fake Paranormal Files TV show in its second season. And when they investigated, they couldn't debunk it. It was just one of those things that they left as unexplained. But basically, this family was having having encounters in their home.
Oh, wow.
These unknown beings. They were basically coming through the walls through a portal. And the whole family was being abducted at the same time, though individually. And, you know, it got to the point where they kind of expected it when it was going to happen. And in fact, it has still been going on. I mean, it's maybe about 2 to 3 times a year now, but it doesn't involve abduction. They do still show up and check up on on David and his family occasionally. It normally happens around April and November each year. Last time I talked to David, it was maybe about 4 or 5 months ago. So I'll probably try to talk to him sometime next month, see if there's been anything else that goes on. I'll be honest with you. When I first got involved with David, he had been rejected by MUFON and several other reporting agencies and investigators. This was back in 2009. And, you know, this was going on. He was documenting it. He was putting up YouTube videos. Well, he had one in particular video that showed a being standing in a doorway of the bathroom in the bed, you know, the bedroom, the bathroom to the bedroom. He was recording a lot of different evidence. He was pretty imaginative in the way he went about it. He was actually using these theatrical smoke machines to, you know, he would have these set up in the bedroom, and it was able to pick up these cloaked beings in the bedroom. And he has some photographs of those. They're pretty remarkable photographs. And, but for the first 6 months or so when I was working with him, I was very wary. I really wasn't sure what was going on. And in fact, I originally thought that he was having paranormal activity other than something that was extraterrestrial or non-terrestrial. I thought it was just spirit-based. But as we went on and started looking into it more and more, I was convinced that he had experienced some fairly profound abductions. And as we got into the investigation, and I've got this all documented on my website. You can, on the right-hand column of Phantoms and Monsters, you can see the link that has everything. It takes you to everything that's been reported. Let's put it this way, everything that I have reported, because I haven't released all the information. And I don't know if I really will, because quite honestly, I don't think a lot of people can handle everything that I have been told about what had happened. It was pretty horrific. He was kind of given a chance to see the operation of what was going on and how people were being abducted and experimented on and disposed of.
Disposed of?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm curious, and this may be a funny question, but when people are abducted, and I do believe that happens, there's a selective few here and there, but is that why there's some missing people that never come up, you know, they don't find their bodies?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, if it's along the lines of what I was told by David and by some of the evidence that he showed me, some of the drawings that he had done, and I mean, they're very interesting formulas and drawings and such that he presented to me that I had taken to investigators to try to get an idea of what it was. But if you go about along the lines of what he disclosed to me, I would say personally that most of the abductions, in particular by this group, and this was run by a race of reptilian type beings, these humans were not returned, and they just weren't abducting humans. They were abducting all types of alien races and experimenting on them.
Oh my goodness.
Now, were the beings that are responsible, are those the typical grays that people describe, or is this a whole new species of alien, or like the reptilians, or which ones are responsible for not always returning the people?
It was the there were several gray species involved with the operation, but invariably it was run by a group of overlord-type reptilian beings. And in fact, when Dave was taken to the areas where these experiments were being taken, you know, place, and look, this wasn't on a ship or anything like that. These were locations on this planet. These were underground locations and underwater locations. And he was actually given the opportunity to see some of the experimentation. They actually worked on him, but they cured him of debilitating arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. And he was also able to see how they disposed of people and other beings as well.
Wow, I guess that takes alien abduction to a whole new level. It makes it even more terrifying than it already is. I have never heard of, you know, such malevolence with an alien species before in talking with a ton of people. I did know a researcher one time, and he wouldn't give me any details on it, but in Eastern Oregon, because we're based in Portland, but in Eastern Oregon, there were a bunch of people, the government was taking people and doing the same kind of thing. It wasn't alien related, but it was, you know, they're just grabbing people and people end up disappearing and they were conducting experiments on them. But he never felt comfortable enough to tell me, you know, what exactly was going on.
Yeah, this situation with David, I don't believe from what he told me and what he disclosed to me had any involvement with the government. It could have very well have been. I mean, there have been reports about the Dulce Underground, Dulce Base, and the different levels in the area and the UFO sightings and such, and that the United States government is involved with certain alien beings. You know, that's something that has been going on for a long time, if you believe what is being told, has been told about it. This was something different. This is something that is being run by this particular species of reptilian, if what David tells me is what's going on. And that very rarely, from what I understand, are these abductees returned. And in fact, a lot of them are used for slave-type labor in some of these undergrounds. You know, and that's why I get somewhat perturbed at people that say that, you know, I wish I was abducted. I wish I could see what was going on, this and that. You know, I don't, you know, after the time I've spent with David, there's just no way I can even endorse something like that. You know, some of these species may be helping. And I do believe that some of the species of beings have been helping us from destroying our civilization. But I think those beings are actually evolved humans that have come back in time. As far as other species from other worlds or other dimensions, and I believe most extraterrestrials are not from other planets per se. I think they're from other dimensions. I believe that most of those are fairly malevolent and don't have our well-being as something they really care about.
I wonder why some people are picked and some people aren't. I it's an experiment, and it's interesting how some people have to go through that in order to live some lessons, whether they're good and bad or indifferent.
Well, it seems the abduction scenarios where people are returned usually run generationally. In other words, it's something that has happened within several generations of families. You know, I've been working for years with people that have experienced that throughout, you know, throughout generations. And, you know, these people are returned. They're returned because they're being used as some type of experiment of some type of hybrid, some type of hybrid program. Some have said that they've been taken back and seen hybrid children that they know they're theirs, but, you know, I have talked to women that were pregnant that would suddenly lose their pregnancy after an abduction and later on be shown a child, a hybrid-like child that they know is theirs. Things like that. These are the people that are returned. But I am positive that many of these abductions end up badly. And, you know, you talk about people that go missing and never show up. Well, that very well be good. That could be a very good explanation as to why.
Children too, correct?
You know, pardon?
Children too.
Children as well.
Yeah, okay.
I think, I don't quote me on this, but I think that the national forests here in Oregon have a really outrageous ratio of people that end up disappearing, and I don't remember where I read that, but I do recall it being in Oregon as a place where a lot of people disappear out in the forests. Maybe it's paranormal,
maybe it's not,
I don't know.
Yeah, David Palladius is a researcher into a lot of these disappearances, especially those within state and national forests. He has documented a lot of this, and people that disappear and just don't come back. He really hasn't come out, and I intentionally hasn't come out and give out some type of explanation as to why this is going on. There's been some theories that it may be something involving Bigfoot, or people may be falling into some type of vortex because they suddenly disappear. You know, the vortex theory may very well be true. Not necessarily that they go through a vortex and end up in another reality and live peacefully. I think it's probably more so the scenario where they are taken through a vortex and just don't return because something's done to them. And I think that happens a lot more than anybody wants to admit to. I think this is something that's really going on. And I've been doing this for a long time, and until the time I met David, I thought that was just a lot of, you know, possibly hogwash. But the more and more I talked to David and looked into other people that he knew of that talked about these type of things, and you know, others who have had similar experiences, I believe that this is really going on.
I absolutely wouldn't doubt it. Well, I'm looking at the clock here, Lon, and it looks like we're just about out of time. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to let people know where they can learn more about you and stuff like that.
Well, you can go to phantomsandmonsters.com. And I do a daily post there, which you can also get. You can sign up to have sent to you daily in a newsletter, free newsletter. We have an extensive archive of posted material. I've got about 7,000 posts in my archive at the present time. You can go to the right column of the homepage of Phantoms and Monsters, and there are several links there to several investigations, several things that we're currently doing as well. Also, I have several books out. I have 5 currently in circulation. You can go to Amazon and search my name, Lon Strickler, or search Phantoms and Monsters, and they'll come up.
Awesome. Well, hey, Lon, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight and letting us know a little bit about what's going on there in the Chicago area. And I find this whole UFO thing, abduction thing, absolutely fascinating. It really tickles my UFO bone.
Yeah, you can go to the Phantoms and Monsters on the right-hand column. There's a link there for the David Eckhart family abductions or encounters. And click on that, and all the links to my reports that I have released or disclosed are there.
I'm definitely going to do that. It sounds like a fascinating case. And, yeah, it's just a subject that I love. But, yeah, with that, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all your information with us this evening.
Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
We would like to have you back.
No problem. Just let me know.
Absolutely.
I know. We'll be in touch. That was awesome. There's so much to talk about. There's so much to learn and share. Okay, Jason. So next week, we're going to have Bill Bean. I want to thank Lon for filling in. Actually, Lon was supposed to be in for next week, but Bill Bean was tied up, so... Bill Bean will be back next week, and he's an exorcist, and he helps with people that just a lot of prayers and a lot of help with people that are I would say unfortunate circumstances. He's been on radio and TV. He has a TV show, I believe, that is in progress right now. So we're going to welcome back Bill Bean next week.
Yeah, totally exciting. Bill Bean's a great guy and a great guest. And Yeah, with that, I guess unless you have anything else, we can close the show. I'd like to thank the caller that called in, and he swore, so I'm going to have to take 10 seconds of my time and edit it out so we can play it on the radio. And with that, I also want to thank our stations out there, KITC-FM and KNCP in Central Oregon, for playing Paranormal Horizons. But, yeah, we can't weed out all the bad apples that decide to call in.
Yes, and we want to thank them for, you know, just supporting us. The radio station reaching a lot of people out in Central and Eastern Oregon. We want to thank the general manager and the owner for just getting us out there. So as we continue to grow, and next week will be my 2-year anniversary on the show. So yay! I'm really excited. So it's been really wonderful to work with Jason. He is the best. I don't know what if I could have done it without him. And we continue to bring Paranormal Horizons for the limelight and being able to share different things about the unknown. It's all about sharing and growing. So.
Well, we definitely make a great team, so.
Awesome. Yes, we need to get together and do a live, whether it's a paranormal investigation or just do something live. So I'm excited about that. And we're expanding. We're probably going to be getting together with Hawaiian Hauntings and going a live feed with them. So
oh,
I was
cool.
just talking to my personal friend Joe Panohu. So I think that we're going to, that's on the works, and a couple other projects are on the works. So I'll share that with you off the air.
Sounds great. Well, with that, everybody, I hope you have a great and fantastic week. I'm going to try and get healed up, get this back healed up, and I guess we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And I guess I'll bid everybody adieu. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Take care. Thanks for listening to us and supporting us. Peace. Love you guys.